So we're beginning Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach now, the sixth perek, would you believe it? In Sanhedrin, Daf Mem, Beis, Omed, Aleph. This will take us a short while. It's a good 6.5 daf. Nigmar Hadin. We began this right at the end of yesterday. Nigmar Hadin. So the din is finished. Moitzi and Oisoy. You take out this individual who's been indicted and found guilty. Rashi explained to us, we saw this yesterday. The reason why we're discussing skila is because even though there are four punishments altogether, but skila is always considered the first. So we're first talking about that. And later on, we'll discuss the other mises. So, moitzi and oisai l'soiklo. Now, moitzi and oisai l'soiklo clearly suggests that you do not stone him in the Beis Din, but rather you have to take him out somewhere, as we'll soon see, in order to stone him. And indeed, says the Mishnah, Beis haskila hoya chutz le-Beis Din. The Beis haskila, this mokum, wherever they performed the skila, was not in Beis Din. Why? Shenema, you learn it from a pasuk. It says hoitze es hamakalal. If it says hoitze, then it means you got to take him out. Says Rashi, chutz le-Beis Din, rochoik mi Beis Din ktsas. Not just was it outside of Beis Din, but it was slightly distanced from Beis Din, as we'll soon see. Says Rashi, Shenema hoitze. If it says you've got to take him out, Alma, lav b'mokoim ha-va'ad. Va'ad is the collection point, meaning where all the dayonim would collect, where they would meet. So where the actual Beis Din sat, that's called the Beis Ha-va'ad. So it's lav b'mokoim ha-va'ad kotluhu. You would not kill him, as clearly indicated by the pasuk, in the place where the vaad sat. So now the Mishnah goes into more details. Back into the Mishnah. Echod oimed al Pesach bezdin. There was one person whose job it was to stand by the door, by the exit of the bezdin. Vahasudrin biyode. Suda is normally a cloth. He had some cloth in his hand. Not immediately clear what the function of those sudrin are. Rashi immediately says, don't worry, lekami mafarish lemaimi boya. Later on, we're going to explain what exactly they were required for. So there's somebody standing outside of Beis Din. We'll see in a moment how close and how far away from Beis Din, but he's holding Sudorin, some cloths in his hand. Vesus rochik mimenu. And meanwhile, there is a horse that's slightly distanced from him. Kedei roehu. So it's distanced, but not too distanced. The person riding the horse has got to be distanced, but at least close enough to this person holding the sudarin so that he should be able to see him. Now, what's this sudarin? What's the sus? Now the Mishnah explains. Oimer echod, if one of the dayonim, they've just paskened the din and they've come to a gemara din, and they've taken this fellow out to be stoned, and all of a sudden, one of the dayanim says, one moment. Yesh lelamed olov zechus. I think on second thoughts, but I've got a tzad zechus, I can exempt him. Now, if the Beis Haskila would be immediately outside Beis Din, well, then it would be too late. Because you take him outside the front door, you stone him and finish it. Now it's all over. So that's why The Beis HaSkila had to be some distance from the Besdin. We deliberately want it to take a bit of time so that there should be a few extra seconds for somebody, perhaps, maybe, just maybe, to come up with a tzadzuchus. Okay, so one of the Dayanim now announces that he thinks he's got a tzadzuchus. Halloi meinif besudarin. Now we understand the function of these cloths. The person standing at the front door of the Beis Din now raises the cloths. That's his way of communication. He wants to alert the attention of those performing the skila. But the ones performing the skila are too far away to see him. That's why you had the horse rider. The horse one, the person on horseback, he, as we said, is distance, but not too distant from the person holding the siddurim. So that as soon as he raised the banner, the person in the sus could immediately gallop off and alert the attention of those who were about to perform the death penalty. So that's what it means. Haloi meinif besudrin. He would now wave the sudrin, and that would now be the alarm bell, v'hasus rots. And the sus would now gallop off with its rider, uma'amidon, and would stop, would put the death penalty on hold and say, one second, one second, one second, somebody has come up maybe with a zechus, it needs to be investigated, put it on hold. Says Rashi, v'hasus rochoik mimenu kedeshihei. Odom roichei valsus. There was a person there who was stationed riding on a horse. V'nimshach al tzad beis haskila. But he was positioned closer to the beis haskila. Why? Why does he need to be close to the beis haskila? For obvious reasons. We don't want him to be too far away, because if he's too far away, if he has to gallop off, then by the time he arrives there, the person might be dead. So it's koroi, if he has to be close enough, liridoif achar haniskolin, to be able to follow up, to run after the person who's about to be stoned, umatzil, and thereby save him. Umisrachik mizeh. Whilst he was close in proximity to the Beis HaSkila, but not so close, he was a little bit distanced it from the person Shasudorim Beyodoi. Remember, we have various camps over here. What do we have? We have the Beis Din, and outside the door, front door of the Beis Din, is the guy waving the banner. Now, let's say, for argument's sake, a kilometer away is the Beis HaSkila. Clearly, a kilometer, let's say, is too far to see the Sudorin. So there's somebody positioned between the person holding the Sudorin and the Beis HaSkila. But what does that mean, between? Halfway point, closer, further. So that's what Rashi's telling us. He's closer to the Beis HaSkila than he is to the Beis Din, for obvious reasons. Because essentially, we don't want him to be too far away from the Beis HaSkila, because if he has to go galloping off and it takes a few extra seconds, it might be too late. So therefore, on the one hand, he is close to the Beis HaSkila, but he's slightly distanced from the Siddurin. How much, says Rashi? Meloyenov. But at least he'd be able to be visible. Can't be too far, otherwise it's pointless. Ubilvad sheyuchalir. But as long as he's able to see him, im yonif's besudrin. So he's got to be, on the one hand, closer to the Beis HaSkila, because we want him to be able to quickly step in and stop them performing the death penalty, and distanced from the Beis Din, but not too distanced. He's got to at least be able to see in the potential event that he waves the Sudarin. One more Rashi. Omar Echod mi Beis Din. Or two more Rashis. If one of the Beis Din now says, Yei Shli Lelamed Olov Zchus, I think I can, after all, come up with a reason for him to be innocent after all. Then, halloi, this fellow ha'oimed al ha'pesach. This fellow who's standing by the front door, what was his job? Immediately now to start waving the flag, start waving the siddurim. Meanwhile, the roichev hasus hoya makir boy. And the person riding the horse would clearly recognize it. As we said, he's at least close enough, it's within sight, so he'd be able to see that. Vahu rots. And he would then gallop off achar hamhanhigin, after the rulers or the executioners, uma'amidam, and would stop them. Ad sheyechkru bezdin. Until Bezdin would now have to examine him. Im yehei ta'am, is there any logic or any reasoning bedvarov shalzeh? Just because somebody says he's got a tzad zechus, obviously I can't now exonerate him. So now Bezdin will have to say, ah, okay, you said you've got a new reason to exonerate him, we need to look into it. So whilst the Bezdin are looking into it, the job of this fellow on the horse was to gallop up to the executioners and say, excuse me, somebody has just suggested that there is maybe a tzad zechus, please press pause. Yes, Larry.
Couple of questions. First of all, if we're concerned about this, why are we putting a guy on a horse? Why don't we put a guy with a flag? In other words, he sees the first flag and he holds up the second flag within sight. It would be quicker. He'd be able to be more medayik. But you know, stuff. So in other words, if the base of skila sees a flag, which is the second flag, why are they waiting for a guy to get there in time? It'll take 5-10 minutes till he rides. He sees a flag. He holds up the second flag. Done. Stop. Stop. There's a problem.
You know, good point.
Okay. Second of all. If it was in today's day and age, even though we don't have a Beis Din and all this skila and all this other stuff, would we be following these exact procedures, or would we pick up the cell phone? Would they adapt? How do you think that would work?
I think we would adapt, because if it's a halacha which is clearly learned from the pasuk, then times don't change. But this is just a practical measure. So if in those days the way of communicating was with sidurim, so now we've got other ways of communicating. So that type of halacha, that's not called a change, chas v'sholom, in the halacha of the Torah. It's just a pragmatic, just a practicality. Okay. Back into the Mishnah. Va'afilu hu oimer yeshli lelameid al atzmi zechus. Even if it's not one of the dayanim, but rather it's the person who's been incriminated, he says, I think I can defend my own position. I've got something that I can claim that will maybe be a zechus for me. That's also enough. Machzirin, so you now bring him back. Okay. You'd like to present something to the Bezin. So he was literally at the 11th hour, about to be stoned. And all of a sudden he says, oh, wait, 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 wait. I think I can just think of a way of defending myself. Okay. So we'll bring him back to Bezdin, present your case. Bezdin will look into it, and maybe indeed you'll be off the hook. Afilu arba v'chomesh pa'omim. Even if this happens multiple times, 4 or 5 times, as long. Ubelvad sheyesh mamish bidvarov. As long as there's some proper substance to what he's saying. He's got to have some basis for a claim, otherwise it's ridiculous. Otherwise he's never going to be killed. Because every time they try and kill him, oh, I've got tzad zechus. Okay, they're rushing back to Bezin. I had amnesia that day. No, we don't accept that. Fine, they're about to stone him. I've got zechus. They bring him back. I had dementia that day. No, not good enough. About to be stoned again and again and again. There's no mamish bidvarov. So if it's recognizable, and Rashi immediately says it's not clear what that means, how am I supposed to know if there's mamish bidvarov? Have a look at Rashi. And the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Ubelvad shiyehi mamish bidvarov, ktsas raya. It's got to have a little bit of a proof, hadoimel zechus, which will then perhaps suggest he can have a zechus, but merely to come up with some baseless piece of zechus, that's not acceptable. So like we said, if he says, I've got a zechus, I must have slipped into dementia that day, I forgot the halacha. There's no raya, there's no basis, there's no reason to suggest that's the truth. So that's not good enough. Uba Gemara Parich, says Rashi, the Gemara indeed will ask, how do we know? Mino Yodi, how are we supposed to know? Hanach Soiklin, the one stoning him. So they're about to stone him, and all of a sudden he yells out, No, don't kill me. I've got a tzad zechus. Well, how are they supposed to know if that's called yesh boi mamash? Does it have substance or it doesn't? Mino yod yach saiklin im yesh mamid bedvarov. How should they know? Haloi loy talmidim heim. They're not necessarily talmidei chachamim. So the guy being accused is going to say, yeah, I've got tzad zechus. I just remember there's a Rashba in Chulin. How the stone is supposed to know? They don't know Rashba. They don't know Chulin. They haven't learnt. If they would be Talmidei Chachamim, then they wouldn't be stoning people. They'd be sitting on a Beis Din. So what does that mean that the people stoning would exempt him in the event that it would seem to be that he has a Zechus? How on earth are they supposed to know? Says Rashi, it's a great question. I would have to see it in the Gemara. Okay, so let's make a start to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ubeis haskila chutz lebezdin hava vesuloi. The Mishnah did not tell us exactly where the Beis Haskila was located. But it does seem to be that it's not very far out of Beis Din. Because it says, take him out of the Beis Haskila. Sounds like it's close, but it's not in the Beis Haskila. Imagine if you were now traveling to America. You wouldn't say, yes, I'm just stepping outside of Beit Shemesh. If you're saying you're going outside of Beit Shemesh, it sounds like you're just stepping out a mile or two. So if the Mishnah says that we take him out of Beis Din, sounds like it's relatively close. It's not immediately close for reasons we've explained, but it's not very far. Says the Gemara, Beis Haskilah chutz le-Beis Din hava, was outside the Beis Din v'suloi, but no more. No more. Why is that problematic? Says the Gemara, Vahot Tanya, but we've learned in a Braisa that Beis Haskilah hoya chutz l'shalosh machanois. It was far. It was very, very, very far, in fact. What does that mean? It was chutz m'shalosh machanois. Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, ubeis haskila chutz lebezdin. Hu deboinon. That's what's required. The Loshon of the Mishnah seems to suggest that all we do is we take him outside the Beis Din. Avol chutz l'sholeish machanois. But it sounds like no more than that is required. I don't need to take him out of the three machanois. All I need to do is take him outside of the Beis Din. So why is that problematic? Says Rashi, don't we have a braisa that says chutz l'sholeish machanois? It doesn't suffice merely to take him out of the Beis Din. I've actually got to take him out of all three machanos. Which three machanos are we talking about? Not in every city were there, in fact, three machanos. Where did they have three machanos? Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh. Says Rashi, Yerushalayim hu deshayich lemeima. With regard to Yerushalayim, there it's possible to say that there are in fact three machanes, because there were. What were they? Firstly, De'ika Azora. There was the Azora, the actual Beis HaMikdash, which is the Machane Shechina. The Machane Shechina was out of bounds for all of Klal Yisrael besides for Koyanim. Then there was the Har HaBayis, which is the further afield, which was the Machane Leviyah, second Machane. And then V'chol Ha'ir, all of Yerushalayim is called Machane Yisrael. So when the Braiser talks about taking him out of all three Machanois, what does that mean? Out of the Machane Shechino, out of the Machane Leviyah, out of the Machane Yisrael, all the way outside Yerushalayim. So that phrase makes sense. So essentially, what does it mean? Essentially, what it means is take him out of the town. We call it out of three machnes because in Yerushalayim there were indeed three machnes, but in other towns there were not. Says Rashi, Ubebotei dinim shebechol ir ve'ir. In the Botei dinim in other cities, nami have a beis askila chutz le'ir. The beis askila was indeed outside the city, dumya d'Yerushalayim. Even though, with regard to other cities, we can't exactly call it outside three machanas because there were no three machanas. But either way, the kasha of the Gemara remains. Why are you telling me that you only take him outside the Beis Din? Surely the halacha is whether in Yerushalayim or other cities, you take him much further afield, you take him outside the city. Okay, I'm afraid I have to finish a little bit earlier here, so we're going to hold it over here, and Emes Hashem, tomorrow we'll carry on.
Sure.
Okay, Kol Tov, Kol Tov.